Christ the Lord. God, I just love this presence, Lord. Thank you so much for it, Lord. Lord, give us something on the inside that can respond to that, Heavenly Father. Lord, you know in myself, God, I feel so insufficient, God, being here today, Lord. Lord, to speak of the most precious thing in the world, and that's your bride, Father. Lord, I ask you to help me, Lord. Fail to step to the side, God. And Lord, I don't want to try to build a name for myself, because Lord, there's nothing about me, God. Lord, I just want to be able to lift you up this morning before them, God. And may they see that you're the answer in everything, God. And Lord, no matter what stage in their life they're at, God, that you're the answer this morning. Lord Jesus, we're going to look to you now, and we're going to ask you that you'll come, Lord, and you'll speak to their hearts, Heavenly Father. Lord, that you'll help us all be in one mind and one accord this morning, Lord. Lord Jesus, because truly from the depths of our heart, each and every one of us, that's our desire, God, is to serve you and be the best Christian we can be, God. We want to be the best bride you could possibly have, God. Help us to be more submissive, oh God. Help us, Lord, to be, Lord, more quick to move, God, when you call us to do or say something, God. Help us, Lord Jesus. We're looking unto you now, and I ask you, Lord, just bless this service, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. Really kind of a privilege to be here today. And like Brother Tony said, it feels like it's been a month since we've been here. And about a month later, it feels like, but thanks everybody for coming to the house. We really had a good fellowship and appreciate the cards and everything. It was really appreciated. Got to see the handiwork of Brother Gary. I tell you what, that brother does really good, don't he?
Amen.
Not because it's my house, because it's good work. You know? I thought he did a fine job. I really appreciate that. Amen. We're turning the scriptures to Matthew 25, verses 1 through 12. We'll speak to you on a little thought this morning of claim your oil. St. Matthew 25, 1 through 12. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said to them, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Let's just bow our heads just one moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word.
Yes.
We're going to ask you that you'll just come now and just speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. While you're being seated, I'm going to read a quote. It's from the great warrior David. It says, Notice David was called by election. He was elected, called, anointed, and placed, see? Elected by God, called from sheep herding to be the king. Anointed and positionally placed. Look, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Abraham, election. Isaac, justification.
Right.
Jacob, grace. And Joseph, perfection. Nothing against Joseph. All right, there you are, called. I'm going to move this thing back a little bit. That's kind of hard for me to. Called, elected first by God. How many Christians are here? Raise up your hand. You're not a Christian by your desire. You're a Christian by God's desire. Amen?
Amen.
No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. You was elected by God before the foundation of the world to be a Christian. That's scripture. Jesus said, No man can come to me unless the Father draws him. First thing you was elected, called,
Then when God elected you, then he called you and you heeded to his call. Then he poured the anointing oil on you and the Holy Ghost. When the cruciform oil, that what does the oil represent in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. When he poured the oil upon you, he baptized him with the Holy Spirit in a symbol form. Amen. I hope you get that. That's just come fresh. He poured the oil upon him and he went all over him and the whole horn of it full. Not sparingly. And that's the way God pours the Holy Ghost on a man. Not sparingly, but baptizes him into it, anointing him with the Spirit. Notice right then, when that anointing oil struck him, he was positionally placed as king. Amen. You are placed positionally in Christ Jesus as the King of Priests. Is that right? The moment you receive the Holy Ghost, God places you in the kingdom. And there you are. And I just want to read one more quote and then we'll get started. This is from The Uncertain Sam. And he talks about, says, Samson had it in him, and it wasn't Samson, it was the hidden power in him. It isn't some magic word. It isn't a rubbing a rabbit foot behind your ear, spitting on a horseshoe, or throwing it that makes the magic. That isn't what makes man live a different life, no more than joining church or putting your name on a book or being baptized. What makes a man is when God, by a birth, gives him the hidden power. And I really want you to concentrate on that word, the hidden power. That's my words. And bless him by the Holy Spirit in his life, what makes him what he is. Samson, when he walked out there, the lion comes toward him. Oh my, the lion was going to get him. A little curly-headed shrimp, about like seven little sissy locks hanging down his shoulders. And he was a weakling. He was a midget. He was a dwarf, like every man is without God. Yes, but all at once, when the lion got ready to get him, the hidden power come out. The Holy Spirit come on him and grabbed the lion and slew it. It was a lamb, like it was a lamb. And that's where it is. Christians don't fight back. Christians don't fuss about it. The Christians set still. And the hidden power, the blessing of the Holy Ghost, goes to work on him and brings him out. Hallelujah. And you know what? That's really what it is. It's the hidden power within us. And you know, the victory of the believer today is being under the anointing and gaining that oil upon. Is that right?
That's right.
It's not so much of knowing truths. It's not so much being able to speak fine things. But it's actually having the oil upon you on a daily walk. And having the oil upon you. And we look at Samson, and a lot of the pictures we picture of Samson, he's always got big muscles. He's got strong arms. He's got all these great things, qualities. And when you look at Samson and you hear about all the victories that he gained, you think about the muscles that Samson had. Because that's what they pictured him out to be. But Brother Branham said he was a little bitty fella, a sissy is what he called him.
Right.
I wonder what Samson would have thought about that if he'd have been there hearing, you know, some of the things he said. Sissy and little locks, you know, and sometimes we think we get hard. But you know what? He said he was a little sissy and had these little locks. And he said, this little bitty fella went over and ripped the gates off the wall and done all these great things, killed all the great men, a little bitty fella. But see, what made him be able to do that is that Samson wasn't doing his own ability. He was resting on God. Amen? He was resting on God to be able to tear something down. He was resting on God to defeat his enemies. And you know what? We have gates that we have to tear down, saints of God. We have enemies that we need to destroy. But why is it sometimes we try to do it ourselves? Because if we would look in the mirror of God's Word in that situation, we'd be just like that midget dwarf ourselves. Trying to tear down these walls that we need to tear down. Try to destroy these enemies. And your enemy's not your wife or your husband or your person in the church, saints of God. But we have enemies. Do you realize that?
Amen.
We have enemies that wants to just come to kill and destroy inside of our church. Kill and destroy in our home. And something I just want to stop with right here for a moment and just to explain is not so much today as much because now we have plumbing and water and everything, but there was a time when the people really needed their creek to come down their house because that's how they watered their crops. That's how they lived, is they had water. And then these creeks would go down other people's territory and go by their house, and they would have to have plumbing and fetch water from that creek because that's how they fed their crops. That's how they got their own drinks and all these different things. They depended upon that water because if that water ever stopped, their whole livelihood stopped. They could no longer have crops. They could no longer drink water in their home. They couldn't live because they have to have water. Is that right? So for them, whenever they had water coming by them, if that water ever stopped, they had to get up and do something about it. They had to go up and, why are we not having water coming toward us? And a lot of times you have little beavers that go out there. Nothing against the beaver itself. I'm an animal lover, and my wife really got on me this year because I've been hunting for 11 years. And every year I fill out the deer tag, I get the gun, I get everything, I'm all equipped, I look just like a hunter. I don't ever come back with anything. You know what? She really comes on me, and I said, you know what? It's because I'm an animal lover. I like them. You know, I actually had one point I could have shot the deer. I was laying against a tree, but he looked so pretty. I just looked at him, and I was just praying and, you know, seeking the Lord. But I'm an animal lover, so it's nothing against the beaver. But you know what? These beavers can go through there and stop up that water. Right. And when they stop up that water, they ain't going to have no water for their livelihood. And so eventually the crops will die. Eventually the animals will die. Eventually they'll die. Unless they go out and start killing some beavers. And start tearing down some dams. And you know what? We need to go out and we need to go kill some beavers, saints of God. We need to go out and rip out some dams. Because that life of the Spirit of God that comes in our church, that comes inside our home, the devil's trying to come every way he can and dam it up every way he can.
That's right.
Whether it be by giving you a depressing spirit upon you, whether it be a bitter spirit upon you, whether it be something inside you says, I just can't do it, I don't have anything to offer. Come on, saints of God.
Right.
You know what? The devil comes against us all the same way. He's telling you, you're not good enough. You don't have anything to offer to God. Because that's what he does toward me. But you know what? What's the devil doing? He's damming up the water supply. Because if he can ever dam up the water supply, he's going to kill the life. But you know what? We need to go out and go get us some beaver skins.
Right.
You know, we need to go out there and we need to start clearing up the dams. And whenever you see your brothers and sisters, you know that's the biggest thing? Could you imagine seeing this big dam of this creek going across you? It's all dammed up and you can't do it yourself. Right. You ever been in a midst like that? Well, you're in a trial and you're trying to get out of it. It's like, I can't do it. I am trying to get out of this. It would be humiliating for me to have to call someone and say, I'm going through this and I can't get out of it. I'm trying. I'm going through this trial, and it seems like every time I begin to climb the hill, I'll get a little bit, and I fall right back down. Come on, saints of God. But you know what? You go through that, and it's like, you know what? I'm the only one feeling this way. I'm the only one going through this battle because I can't get through this. It's like, I'm trying to get through this wall, but every time I try, I can't do it. But you know what? All you've got to do, saints of God, is call out for help. All you got to do is call and say, God, forgive me. And look into our brothers and sisters and say, church, pray for me. I need your help.
Amen.
How many would you be quick to answer, saints of God? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Look around you, saints of God, because people are ready to reach out. And you know what? They'll all go out there and start pulling out that old dam. They'll all begin to pull out the sticks and begin to shoot out beavers.
That's right.
Going to go on a good old beaver shooting spree. You know what? Because them beavers are destructive. They'll dam up that water. They'll dam up the church. They'll dam up all these things, saints of God. Because before too long, mommy and daddy ain't happy no more. Before too long, the kids ain't happy no more. And you know what? Because it's a prison that's right here, saints of God.
Amen.
And you know what? We try to do it ourselves. And Samson had a hidden power on the inside. And Scripture says Brother Brennan said, you talked about how Samson was going through this trial. He says, and the Spirit of God fought for Samson. The Spirit of God began to work through Samson and began to fight his enemies. And you know what? I want the Spirit of God to fight my enemies this morning. I want the Spirit of God to fight for this church this morning, saints of God. Because you know what? The devil is trying so hard to tear us down. You know, and I'm talking about testimonies. Whenever you can be able to, and I'm talking about in this life, when you can go out and give your testimonies of what God's done in your life, something you cherish so much, and you go tell it to the church world, they'll laugh in your face. They will.
Right.
You know, I was giving a testimony to a pastor here recently, and talking about what I've seen God do in my life, and what I've seen God do in my children's life, and he was a Pentecostal pastor. And we were talking about the power of God. And I said, you know what? I said, and I began to talk about my daughter's feet, how my feet were turned perfectly straight. And you know, and I would expect the man to say, praise the Lord. He laughed at me. He said, oh, yeah. The feet which went straight, huh? Nothing bitter toward the man. But that's the age we're living in, where they have a form of good godliness. but they deny the power thereof.
Right. That's right.
You know what? We have a power, saints of God, to change a life. I'm talking about of a healing. Let's start there with just a healing of a transforming power. Where my daughter's feet were starting so crooked, she would never be able to walk straight in her life. But God transformed her. Because He transformed her feet, she can walk a new way. In the same way with a Christian, you know what? We were in a way, saints of God, when we walk crooked. You know what? In our life, we walk crooked because we have the desire of sin inside of us. But you know what? The transforming power changed your life on the inside where you can walk a new life.
That's right.
The world won't, they don't believe that anymore, of a true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Of a true baptism of the Holy Ghost is where it causes you to live a new life. And where a hidden power, whenever you're in a time of need, that hidden power will fight for you.
That's right.
Now we first find out, what we find, this is in Hebrews chapter, this is the message of the Hebrews, is what this one is. Now we first find it, we wanted to find out, could we be perfect? And we found out in the scripture this morning, Matthew 5:28, that Jesus said that we had to be just as perfect as God was, or we wouldn't go in. Then we found out that everyone born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, and there was not one sound thing about us. How could we ever be perfected? Now here is what we find out over reading, taking scriptures with Jesus, that Jesus, by one sacrifice, perfected forever His church.
That's right.
We are the perfect through Christ. We are free from judgment through Christ. We shall never die through Christ. We have lost death and found life, though Christ, not through any church, not through any denomination, not through any fantastic, not through speaking with tongues, not through shouting, not through shaking, not through dancing in the Spirit, but by grace. God calls who will, and it's all by election. We find out that it's not Him that wants to be saved. It's not Him that will Him that run it. It's God that shows mercy. It's not no man that can come to Jesus except God draws him first. So what have you got to do with it anyhow? You haven't got nothing to do with it. You're out of the picture altogether. We found out that man never seeks after God. It's God seeking after man. And we found out that when God is the only source of eternal life, we found out that everything that is eternal has no beginning or end. Therefore, we find that hell had no beginning and end. No one can say that. Hell is forever, for it's not eternal. But what I'm going to speak on here is speaking about election. And how that God calls us by election. And Brother Ben explained one time about how a headache. And he said, you know, somebody in here can have a headache. And nobody has to tell you you have a headache when you have one. Because it's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The only way someone can ever really, and what he explained is, the only way someone can ever really experience that is they have to have that headache. And he said, once you have it, you don't have to have someone try to convince you that you've got it. You know you've got it. And that's the same way it is with God dealing with His church. It's God's dealing with individuals. And He's calling us on an individual level, and He's calling us to a higher spot, saints of God. And this is where I want to point at, is the devil wants so hard to make us feel like we're all alone. He wants you to feel like you're the only one in this battle. And you know what? That's where God's plan is so much greater than ours. Because in my plan, I would see families coming in by the dozens already. And serving God, being at the altar. You know what? I'd see them coming. You know, a great evangelist come through. And I would see, you know, families I haven't seen in months will come and rededicate their lives. And you know what? We'd see the house come full in my plan. You know what? In my plan, it would be, you know what? When I go to work and there's customers around, and I pray for a woman that's, you know, she's had a stroke for months and ain't been able to speak. In my plan, it'd be, I would pray for it, and when she's healed, several would come to the Lord. And those several would rededicate their lives in my plan. Who's with me on this? No.
Right. That's embarrassing.
You know, you in our plan, you know what? We'll see where I've been up all night long, pleading and praying for brothers and sisters I ain't seen in church in months now. In my plan, it would be, you know what? Sunday morning, they're going to come through the door in a rededicated life. In my plan. But you know what we go through here and we find out they're not here yet. But does that mean God hasn't answered the prayer? No, God's still going to do it. Imagine on Abraham, you know, in his plan, he would have had the son a long time ago. In his plan, you know what? He wouldn't have to go through these. And in his plan, he'd say, God, right now I'm in the highlight of my life where I'm so victorious in everything, this will be the time for the promised son. This will be the time, Lord. But you find out a lot of times when God would finally come, it wasn't when he was on the mountaintop, as he was in the deepest valley he could ever be in. And you know what? In ourselves, sometimes we say, this is the time for the rapture, Lord. Because right now I'm so strong. Right now I'm so victorious. Right now I'm so ready, God. Because signs are everywhere. Every day I'm praying for someone. They're being healed. Every day I'm going somewhere and I'm seeing things happen. This is the time, God. But we find out it'll be a time, saints of God, when it'll be so secret. I believe this with all my heart. The rapture's going to happen when it's so secret, saints of God, that people won't even know it's gone. And that's a new meaning to me of what Brother Brennan was saying. He said there'll be so few that go, the world will know nothing about it. You know what? Because for some reason, we're always looking into big churches. And I'm not saying we are. It's kind of a way of explaining this. We can look at that and say that a move of God would be a huge church. And it would be great members and a great building. You know what? And our ideas of that, it would be something so much greater. But we find out that actually a lot of times it's so much more simple. It would be someone that's got a building that's so small. You know what? You have to really get close together. And that's one good thing about this church. We all go closer. You ever notice that whenever you go to church, a lot of times people have to sit like buckshot? I've actually spoken to a few churches. I'd literally have to speak like that and turn around this way and speak like that. And it would be wonderful if it was because the building was full. It was actually, you know, it was just because, you know, just here and there. But you know what? In our thinking, it's so much different than what we thought it would be. In our thinking, you know what? When the belief, the sign stuff come up, it would fall down and people would be so solid in the message, they know better than that nonsense. Yeah. In our thinking. You know what? When we see those things, because our thinking are so small compared to God. No, because I believe, you know what? Saints of God, there is a land beyond the river.
That's right.
You know, I've been preaching to my kids and my family. I've been telling them for years now. I've been telling my brothers and my sisters for years now. You know what? There's a rapture fixing to take place. And I was talking to family at my funeral this year. Not my funeral, my aunt's. They had a funeral the other day. And I started talking to them about how that there is a land beyond the river. And I told them, I said, and they began to talk about who I used to be. And they said, man, you used to be horrible. We didn't think it'd ever be hope for you. I said, I didn't either. Began to talk to me, you know, and we started saying, you know what? There is a land beyond the river. There is going to be a rapture someday. And because that word's been used so loosely so many years, saints of God, that people don't even believe it anymore.
That's right.
They don't even believe it. And we're sitting there, and I was talking to them and explaining to them, because you know, my aunt had passed away. And I really love this woman, because during the hardest part of my life as a teenager, she was there for me. And this, maybe God will see this and just know it and just expand that as grace to her. When she came to me, she didn't come with a Bible in her hand. She wasn't a Christian woman. When she came to me, she didn't come to me and teach me how to kneel down and pray, because she needed someone to do that for her. But during that time, you know what? She said, Daniel, she said, I'm not a godly woman at all. She said, you can see that. Remember, I was sitting on a bed and I was very just frustrated with life, the way things had turned out, 15 years old. And she said, Daniel, she said, you're going to be a preacher someday. You watch and see. And I'm sitting here thinking about how depressed I am and how, you know, how hard time I'm going through, and this crazy woman's telling me I'm going to be a preacher. And I said, you're crazy too. I ain't going to church. That's been about 13, 14 years ago. And, you know, this little woman, Gail Meyer is her name, and she's about that tall. When you think my wife's little, you should see her. Little bitty thing. And, you know, I recently, one of the last times I'd seen her before, I seen her in a hospital, it was about two years ago. I was going through Walmart, just, you know, going about my way and looking for someone to talk to about the Lord. I was actually talking to someone over in the Walmart. I was over in one of the little aisles there, and I was talking to somebody about the Lord, and I started getting excited. I started talking about what God had done and, you know, what God's doing in my life, and I was just rejoicing. I had no idea Gail got a dog at Walmart. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here, and I'm talking about this. I'm telling you, there's a rapture going to take place. I said, you know what? I said, you need to get in right now, because, you know what? The church is going to give it to you. You need to get in Christ. And I'm excited, you know, talking about these. And these people was, yeah, sure. They're ready to get away, you know, because, you know what, it was real to me, but they just couldn't see it. But you know what, it's real. It's real. I believe that, saints of God. I truly believe there's going to be a rapture. Well, I leave from there, and I start to walk out, go about my business, and she said, I told you was going to be a preacher. Somebody woman, you know. And she said, you know, she said, what are you thinking? And she started chewing me out big time. She said, I've seen you come through here. So many times you'll come through here, and not one time have you stopped to talk to me. I said, man, I didn't see you. And she's just chewing on me, and she said, you better start stopping and giving me a hug. You better start letting me know that you're here, that you're back. You know, we're associated. And I said, I will. And I gave her a hug, and I began to leave, and someone said, boy, your mama just gave you a scolding, didn't she? I said, well, that wasn't my mama. I said, it sure felt like it. You know, she was really tearing into me. But you know what? I just forgive me, because this is really on my heart, and about my aunt. I really love that woman. I really do, saints of God. And I want to see her on that other side. And you know what? Scripture says that if they were good to you, you know, they gave you that cold glass of water. I'm resting in that, saints of God. I'm resting that one day I'm going to look over and I'm going to see that little woman. She's going to, you know. The pommel worm, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, says, do you believe that? He said, amen. So will you pray for the success that God will give me, my friends? If I got anything that is wrong, you did the wrong quote, I'm sorry. That was my quote. And every time God sends a big rush of glory down, you just sit there and moan and say, I don't believe it. It's psychology. It's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. Dead from the roots. Twice plucked up roots gone bad. And what Brother Branham was talking about here, he said, talking about the trees. He said there was this old field that he had. There was a bunch of dead trees that were out in this field. He said every time the wind would blow through that, it'd make a howling noise because there wasn't any life in it.
Right.
And I actually cut that quote out, but that's what he was talking about. He said that there was like a growling noise going through the trees. He said, then Joe looked and he saw that. He said, but God said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. If that wasn't there, I wouldn't know how to preach. He said, I will restore. And Brother Branham was talking about something, saints of God. He said, how that Brother Branham would have a sign in his hand. And when he would go to pray for people. And God would vindicate that sign and absolutely come through exactly the way it said it would. But there were other men coming up at that exact same time saying they had signs in their hand. How many knows that?
That's right.
They were coming out saying, I had a sign in my hand and was duplicating him just like that, trying to. But God wouldn't vindicate the gift. Brother Branham was going out and doing all these things that bring the discernment and the healings. And other men at the exact same time were doing the exact same thing, but they were failing. They weren't being honest about it. And Brother Branham actually called one of the men into the office and called him on it. He told him, he says, you know as well as I do, this ain't right. But see, what it was is they were trying to counterfeit the true gift of God, Brother. Right. They were trying to counterfeit it, saints of God. But today we have another counterfeit. It's the counterfeit of the Holy Ghost, of what the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost would do. And every time God would do a move inside Brother Branham or in the church, if you look down history, Satan's always been right there to counterfeit it. And I just want to read something right here, and I know it's, if I've ever jumped around in a sermon, I've done it today. This is from the Church Age book. It says, I want to carry this thought all the way through. So let us go a step further. Have you ever studied the history of revivals? Now, revival signifies a move of God in power. And every time God moves, Satan is there to move also. It never fails. In the days of the great Welsh revival, the most people don't know this, the insane asylums filled up quickly. And there was a great display of double power to take away the attention from God. It is written that in Wesley's day, the people would do most peculiar things that were definitely of Satan to try to mock the goodness and power of God. In Luther's day, it said that the miracle of his ministry did not lie in the fact that the successfulness protested the Roman Catholic Church, but the miracle lay in the fact that he could and did stay sound and sane in the midst of fanatics who were often filled with and guided with wrong spirits. And if you have been aware of this last day ministry, you have noted the same invasion of false and wicked spirits. It has to be that way. Now I hope and trust you are spiritual minded enough to capitalize on that. In the same time that God is doing a revival, Satan's having a revival. And at Brother Branham's time, during the great ministry, the insane asylums were actually filling up. How many times have you read that in the newspaper? But you know what? Talking about a revival today, saints of God, at the same time God's bride is coming in a revival, going into rapture, look what's going on around us. Look at and it's not necessarily the insane asylums because they're not big enough for them. They have to put everybody in there nowadays.
That's right.
School shootings that happen every single day. No, going through there, and another man just yesterday had another school shooting, or Friday, another school shooting. A boy goes to school and begins to hunt someone, shoots a woman at the wrong place at the wrong time. Absolute insanity, saints of God. Let's claim our oil this morning and claim not necessarily just the oil, but the benefits of that oil. Because, you know what, with that oil, we can claim our children. And so, and like I said, you know, in my will, our children would have already been here already. But you know what, we got to hold that token that God said they'll be there. You know what, we got to be able to look at my children, and I'm explaining them now, in Oklahoma City right now. Next to every 10 commandments that they've got hung up, they've got a satanic commandment that they're going to put in Oklahoma City starting last week. Hanging up satanic signs up. Saints of God, did you ever think you'd see that? Look how insane the world has gotten to where it's you can go to jail for preaching the gospel anymore. We was at a funeral home, and while the man was preaching a woman's funeral, talking about scriptures, people were standing up laughing and joking and mocking God. How crazy has this gotten, saints of God? Brother Tony and Brother Tim and I were sitting in the back. And Brother Tony was talking about the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I said, brother, I believe that. I said, but that cup's got to be getting full pretty soon. You look around you, saints of God, how much more full can the cup get before this thing dumps over? You know, how much more crazy is it going to get before you look over and your children, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncles can look and say, you know what, you're right. It's true. This gospel's true. But what is it? Saints, there's got to be a hidden power that's pouring. There's got to be saints of God. And you know what? We'll just bow our heads right now. I know this service has been just scattered, and I apologize for that. Saints of God, it's been a battle. This church is on a battle. The bride is under a battle. The believers are on a battle. You know what? And it's more intense today than I've ever seen in my life. I've seen a battle after battle. And saints of God, with everything that's in me, I want to call out to you this morning and tell you to reach out and claim your oil this morning. You know what? As I was trying to give just examples of the evils that's going on right now everywhere around us, saints of God, don't get lukewarm to it and forget about it. As I drive through, it makes me so grieved in my heart of seeing sinners, saints of God, that they're blind to it. They don't even realize. Look what's going on around us. Don't get lukewarm to that and just get into it and just forget about it, saints of God. It's a reality. From a sober thought, a sober mind. Why don't you ponder yourself right now before God and say, God, do I have the oil and am I benefiting from it? Because there's sinners dying, saints of God. Our loved ones are dying. Because the beavers have dammed up the rivers. They've dammed up the Spirit of God with so many things of this life, so many cares of this world. I'm going to ask you, just from your seat, you don't have to come up and pray, but I'm going to ask you, if you're going through that, won't you just raise your hand this morning? God sees your hand, saints of God. And you know what? My hands are up too. Because I'm going through this same battle, saints of God. And you know what? I'm looking at myself. I said, I figured the rapture would have already happened. I figured it would have happened, but I'm going to tell you, saints of God, it's going to happen. You know what? I'm up, if by my own will, I would have wanted my children, their uncles and their aunts to have already come. But I'm telling you, saints, it's going to happen. I'm going to ask you this morning, won't you claim your oil with me this morning? Why don't we all just from right where you're at, let's just pray to God right now. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your family. Pray for your church, saints of God. Because we don't have a promise of tomorrow. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, God. Lord, my heart is so heavy, God. Lord, as I see the iniquity all around us, oh God. Lord, of going down the streets, God. Lord, and Lord, the people that we meet, Lord, they're so blind to it. God, Lord, that the great tribulation period is right here among us, Lord. It's fixing to happen, oh God. At the same time, your little bride is gathering together in a little corner, God. And I am excited about that, God. I'm excited about me going in the rapture, Lord. But Lord, it's my concern, God, for the ones around us, Lord. Lord, I'm concerned about saints that are here in this building, Lord. Lord Jesus, at the same time, I'm so excited because, Lord, the gospel that I preach, Lord, the gospel that I believe, I'm fixing to step into full manifestation of it. I'm fixing to step across to what I've always longed for, God, but at the same time, God. Lord, I'm concerned for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I ask you, Lord God, that you'll walk the aisles this morning, Lord. Lord, help us claim our oil this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, let them not be a foolish virgin, Lord. Allow things in their life, things in their home, Lord, that shouldn't be there, oh God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, walk your aisles, God. Lord, the brothers and sisters that should be here this morning, Lord. I ask you, Lord, right now, God, I call on the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I ask you, Lord, touch their hearts, Lord. Deal with them, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you'll bring a fervency into our lives, God, a reality of it, Lord, a soberness, Lord Jesus. Lord, will we realize, Father, what's going on around us, God? Lord, there's fixing to be earthquakes going around over in California, God. And Lord, as people have laughed it off and joked it off, oh God, it's fixing to happen, Lord. I ask you, God, you'll help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to be sober this morning. Help us, God, as a church, Lord, to bind together, Lord Jesus, during this time. And Lord, if they have dams, Lord, that have dammed their spiritual walk, Lord. Lord, their lifeline, God, I ask this morning that those things be moved out of the way, Heavenly Father. I ask you to grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Father. With every head bowed, I'm just going to ask you musicians if you'd like to come forth. I know there's lots of things we're going to need to do today. Maybe you've got things you've got to know. You've got places you've got to do. I'm going to ask you right now, take a sober moment, saints of God, this time right now. Take this time right now and be sincere before God. And don't let it loose. Take advantage of it. And you climb closer to God this morning.
And yet I
Samson needed something to be done that he couldn't do it himself. A hidden power took over for him.
Amen.
And that hidden power is what did it for him, saints of God. And sometimes a person may be looking at their deathbed and saying, you know, I'm fixing to die, God, unless you come on the scene. I'm going to die. I'm going to step across this from this life. They're depending on a hidden power. The saints of God, there's something 10 times more than that that I'm looking to, and that's a rapture, saints of God. I'm looking to that hidden power for that. You know, Brother Branham talked about one time, he said, you know, people ain't got faith enough for a toothache, and we're looking for a rapture, a body change. Faith changed this body. But you know what? I'm not looking at my ability with this to do that. I'm looking to that hidden power that's going to give me faith for that body change. Because we're in the rapture right now. Do you believe that?
Right.
We're in it. We're absolutely in it. And at the same time that we are in our revival, coming into our revival, and someone say, you know what, Brother, you sure don't look like you're in a revival to me. You know what? A good sign showing that you're on God's side when you've got every opposition against you.
Right.
And that's the truth. That's I want you right. to remember that.
That's right.
Because if the devil's got you, he ain't going to bother you. So you said somebody says, you know what, I don't have trials. I go through this life, I don't have those battles. Well, I would be very concerned. Praise the Lord for you. I'm glad you're happy. I'm glad those things are going good. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going through life and you ain't having battles, I'd be concerned, saints of God. I'm going to tell you this. If you're going through life and you know what, when you talk about sinners dying, if it don't do something to you on the inside, that concerns me. It concerns me, saints of God. And I can say that. And I know you feel the same way. You know what? When I see people that are dying spiritually, saints of God, it concerns me. It concerns me so much. I have customers coming through, and I try to witness the best I can. I pray for somebody. Maybe they don't want it. You know, they're in my loop. They can't go nowhere. They got no oil in their engine. But you know what? I don't try to force them. I don't want to paint that kind of a picture. But you know what? In my shop, I try to conduct that in such a way that the blessings of God can be there. And you know, I'll have customers come through there. And this is not a testimony for me. This is a testimony for the grace of God. I have customers that come through there and they say, I love coming. It almost feels like I'm going to church when I come get an oil change. I ain't said a word. Because it's not me. It's Him. And He will come when you welcome Him. And you know what? Don't you want your workspace to be like that? Where, you know what? I want it to be when, I don't know if you have a booth, brother, or what you have there, but I've always had pictures of where Brother Tim works in my mind, it's probably so far off from the truth, it ain't funny, but I've always just pictured this brother having this booth and this nice computer and stuff. But you know what, wherever you work at, brother, where it's an office or whatever, you know what, I want that brother to have such a peace in that cubicle or office or wherever he's at. I want it to be, you know, when someone comes through there, it's just like being in church, and he ain't even got to say a word. Because, you know, that's something the devil can't come. He can't fake that.
That's right.
He can quote quotes. He can do all those things. But he can't fake the true presence of Christ.
That's right.
Can't fake it. And you know what? I want that. Brother Billy Graham said something the other day before he died. I think he's still alive. But he said something just the other day on his deathbed. He said, one of the things I would do if I could go back and do it again. He said, I would pour myself in just a few. And give my everything and get them all the way to Christ rather than try to preach to millions. And he said, and don't get nothing done. Mm-hmm. That's what Billy Graham said. He said it just the other day. And that's what I want to be, saints of God. I want to be the kind of person that where, you know, wherever I'm at, I want to pour everything I've got into every individual I can. And be as much Christ to them as I possibly can rather than meet all kinds of people and don't get nothing done. Ain't that the way you feel this morning?
Yeah.
You know what, I'm just going to say one more prayer before we ask Brother Tony to come. If you don't mind, Brother Tony, I'm going to ask you to come up and just pray with us as we pray. You know what, don't you want to be able to be a great influence to people around you?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You know what sounds? You know what, we have different prayer lines for different things. Sometimes it's for healing, sometimes it's for oppressions or financial or whatever it may be. But you know what, sometimes it's really good just to pray and say, God, I want you to use me from that. I want you to use me. Who agree with me that this morning? You know what? I want God to use me.
Amen.
Well, why don't we just, as a sincere prayer, I'm talking sober. Let's not think about going out to eat. Let's not think about nothing. Sense of God, because if God takes me off the scene today, and I don't ever see you guys again, I want to have the assurance in my heart I've gotten you as close to Christ as I possibly can.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads right where you're at.
We're going to pray before God. And I'm going to pray with you. Brother Tony, Brother Tim, if you don't mind, brother, let's just stand here together, brother. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for you. And if you feel the need that you want to be prayed for, you just come right on up. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Heavenly Father. And God, we want to tell you that we love you, Lord. God, as we believe with all our hearts, God, you have put this little family together, God. And God, we have been through some tremendous struggles of God. Lord, many battles that people never see, never hear about. Lord, but not just us, but the saints there in the seats, God. Lord, they've been through battle after battle after battle, oh God. But God, I'm asking right now that we bind together in unity, Heavenly Father, and by the love of Jesus Christ, Lord. God, I ask you to touch every heart, Lord. Help them to be used by you, God. Help them to be sober to the fact, Lord, of souls are dying around them, oh God, and have a passion to pray, Father. A passion to hear the word of God, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm calling on your holy name, Lord. Lord Jesus, not trying to bring a name for myself, oh God, but I want to see them as close to Christ as I can possibly get them, oh God. Lord, our pastor, oh God. Lord, as me and Brother Tim, we lay our hands upon him, God, we pray for him, Lord. Encourage him, Lord Jesus. Lord, help our brother, Father, to be able to hold the vision for the flock of God, Lord. Lord, I ask you to help him walk in your spirit, his family, his wife, oh God. Lord, bless her with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, our brother Tim, oh God, I ask you to bless my brother with your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, make your inspiration flood his heart, his soul, his home, oh God. May a joy unspeakable, Lord, be able to reign in his life, oh God, every day, oh God. Lord, I call on your name for him, Lord Jesus. Lord, we believe in your word this morning, God. And Lord, we're confessing and we're asking for that hidden power, God, that worked for Samson, God. May that hidden power go to work this morning, oh God. We're looking to you, Father. You are our refuge, oh God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if anybody would ever like to sing that song, "Oh Lord, Send the Power," just now. I believe it's page 123, if I'm not mistaken. I think everybody knows that song, don't you? "Oh Lord, Send the Power," just now. And you know what? When we sing that song, I want you to sing it just like he's going to send it. Amen? Because he's going to. It's already here. But I want you to, let's just sing. And I mean, let's sing it. Let's sing. Like you've been around me long enough, no, I'm not much of a singer, but you may also know me, I sure like to sing. I think it's 123. I'm not sure. We'll go ahead and, this is probably my favorite song of the of all the songs that we sing. Had it backwards, didn't I? I want everybody to stand. I don't care if you sound like a buzzard or a hen or you sound like an angel. I want to see everybody singing this song. Amen.
They were in the upper chamber. They were all in one accord. Then the Holy Ghost descended as promised by our Lord. Oh, Lord, send the power.
scriptures let us know that the anointing is what absolutely destroys the yoke. When Satan wants to bind you with something, it's God's anointing that makes the difference. We all need that. It's represented by the Holy Spirit. As Brother Daniel was ministering this morning, we should claim our oil. And we are in this midnight hour, and we are in a time where we need that oil more than ever before. It's absolutely required. It's not, if you look at the scenarios there with the foolish and wise virgins, you'll see that it's not really talking about salvation because we don't work out our salvation. But the scriptures is very clear there that there is some works involved, if you want to call it works, because we have to be about maintaining that oil. We have to have it. We have to have extra because we're going to need it. And I've mentioned this before, but maybe I'll say it again this time. The scripture said, when the midnight cry came, the bridegroom cometh, what did it say? Go ye out to meet him. And we know he's coming, and we're going to meet him in the air. Something's got to happen to get us from here to there. And I believe that he has committed to us what it takes to get us from here to there. He did not say that he was going to come all the way to where she's at and get her. It said, go ye out to meet him. Yeah. And the foolish virgin could not make that step. They could not go and meet him out there between here and there because they didn't keep the oil. They didn't have the oil. And so there is something. I believe there's a great deal. And I'm not saying that's something we're going to have to manufacture back to what I just, the first thing I said. The anointing makes all the difference in the world. So just to stay in the presence of God, stay in His Word. Brother Daniel and I were talking yesterday. We have the Word available everywhere.
That's right.
We can listen to it. We can read it. We can share it. We can fellowship. There's no reason why we can't keep the Word and the environment of the Word around us constantly. And we need to do that.
Yeah.
And so, and you don't want to, you don't want to let pushing the tapes or you know, playing the tapes, playing the message. You don't want to let that eat over and just do all that and never pray and never read your Bible. There's a balance in all that. But God's given it to us left and right. It's just select the menu if you want. I know some of the saints will go and listen to other ministers, and that's what it's there for. But it should never, any of these things we should do should not cause us to slack in our responsibilities in our own personal walk, or with our own home church, or with our own families, and that sort of thing. But it is important that we have that oil. Brother Daniel's ministering this morning, that we need to claim that, because there's plenty of things here to keep us from having that oil in our vessels. And so, that kind of goes back to what I was saying, that there's, it's kind of like there's works involved, and that is that you've got to fight to keep that oil. You've got to fight to stay in the presence of God. You have to fight to be in that mindset, because Brother Daniel's right. One of these mornings, one of these days, it will be time to go. And we'll hear it. We'll hear it. And we'll go. And it won't be a hard thing to do when that time comes. But we want to stay in presence of God because of it. And so Brother Branham, he told us, you know, whenever in the seventh seal, he said, you just be, you know, just a real humble, just lead a good Christian life. You know, just be what you're supposed to be. Don't try and be anything great. Just stay right there focused at what we know we should be, and God will take care of the rest. And I think that throughout the years, when we've seen a lot of things come and go, and it still goes right back to that great thing, we need to be right there where the rubber meets the road. It might not be anything famous, anything fancy. As a matter of fact, if we had a big fancy church that had a system like the world's churches are, when we mess up in our singing like we did a while ago, most of you wouldn't be back next week. Right? But we're a family, and we're triggered to something different than that, right? We're triggered to the Word of God and to the presence of God among us. And we want to stay that way.
Amen.
I mean, how many look forward to spending eternity with each other?
Amen.
You know, you have crossed pathways in this life, and you didn't do that. God brought you into the presence of at least one of us. Something that God has done. And it's because He's orchestrated you to spend eternity together. And we want to remember that and pray for one another. Brother Daniel mentioned a while ago about Satan wanting to make you think you're the only one. And I, you know, ministering and talking to different ones, and I can tell you that everybody's fighting the same kind of battles. Each one of us, and not just you, Brother Dan, or myself, Brother Tim, we fight battles because Satan doesn't like the progress that the Lord is making. And so you're not alone. Don't keep it to yourself. Do like Brother Daniel said, ask for help. Ask your brothers and sisters. Come and ask the ministry. We'll be there to help you. Just like Brother Daniel said, we'll be right there to start going down and pulling logs out and all the things that Satan has tried to dam up to keep the water of life from coming to you. Your brothers and sisters are just, you know, ready. If you're like me, I can put up with a lot of things myself, but when I see Satan attack some of my people, my children or my family or people I love, and I see him do that to them, there's a righteous indignation that rises up in me that I might put up with it, but when I see it with another one, then it's different. I'm ready to go to fight a lot quicker. And that's the way it is, because we love one another, we want to fight through one another. Yeah. So just remember one another in prayer. Don't let the enemy beat you down like that and make you think you're by yourself, because you're not. We're in this together.
Yeah.
And we believe God will get us there. And it's good, be good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. And just keep praying about our facility that we're using. The Lord's provided it for us now. And just keep praying that He would guide us in whatever we need to do for that in the future. I know He has something for us, I'm sure. He always provides for His people. He always will. And I know... Brother Daniel just ministering there a while ago. It is a reality to me, you know, that sometimes we just have to wait on God. Sometimes we just have to wait on what He has for us. And like he said, well, according to my thinking or our thinking, we'd have it cuss and mess. And we wouldn't have these battles and these struggles that we have. But as I mentioned the other day, is anything worth anything? It always takes a fight and a battle, and it takes time to establish. Anything that happens quick or go away quick. But we want things that will be established forever, things that last a long time. That cost a heavy price. And so salvation will last a long time, right, because it was the ultimate price paid. And it kind of follows that way through everything. And so I know for me personally, some people probably would think I should make decisions a little quicker than I do, and maybe I am slow about things. But I have found that waiting on God is real important. And I haven't always done that, and I may not always do that. I may get, but I know there's virtue in waiting on the Lord, because they who wait on the Lord, they'll renew their strength, right? So, as you fight battles, just always give it to the Lord. Just wait on Him. We want to bow our hearts and close in service and prayer. Lord Jesus, it's been good to be here today. And, Lord, we have a trust in You. That You'll take us on. You said in Your Word that He that's begun this work, well, You will perform it to the day of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know each one of us can testify that one day when we would have gone a different direction, that You came and You moved upon us, Lord, and You brought us the right way. We're thankful for that, Lord, and we realize it wasn't us. It's all credit is given to You, Lord. But in that now, Lord, we want to take and focus our faith into the rest of the promise, and that is that You will continue on. And I pray, Lord, that You would just bless this people with a strength, Lord, that in the midst of their battle, that they would remember, Lord, to wait on You, remember to commit it to You, and Lord, know that You have processes and rules and laws that must be followed and must work. And Lord, that even when You go to answer prayers, that sometimes You have to abide by Your rules, or always have to abide by Your rules, Lord, and bring that prayer to pass. But sometimes it takes time because of those laws that have to be governed. But Lord, in the midst of battle, cause Your people to remember these things and commit it to You and stand pat. Lord, to believe and trust and obey. We ask, God, that You would go with us today as we fellowship, as we travel, as we go to this next week. Lord, may we meet it with full assurance that Your presence is with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 489. Jesus be the Lord of all. And you go this from the house of God. We want to sing this. And sing this to Him. Lord, we want You to be Lord of all the kingdoms. I think that a person ought to have just one kingdom in their heart. But it says kingdoms. So whatever it is, whatever my thought, whatever it is I'm doing, I want it all to become subject to Him. And let Him be Lord of all. God bless you.